Morning, everybody. Well, when I was asked if I could give a bit of a reflection on a passage from 1 Thessalonians, I was actually very happy about that because I rather like Thessalonians. It's a really positive, encouraging book. So just to give you a little bit of geography, Thessalonica is on the mainland of Greece, up in the north, and it's actually Greece's second largest city, so it's a very busy, bustling place. Currently, it's got a very busy nightlife, and it's sort of classically Greek. Back when the New Testament was written, Paul, Silas, and Timothy had been to Thessalonica, but they hadn't spent that much time there. They'd established a new church, and then because of threats to their lives, they'd had to leave. And so Paul was really keen to visit again. He was also, interestingly, quite fearful that the Thessalonians would be wavering in their faith. But things constantly conspired against Paul for him to revisit. And so he decided to send Timothy. So Timothy went, and then he came back. And he came back with a really positive report about the Thessalonians. And when we read 1 Thessalonians, it's like Paul's response to the report and his response to some of the queries that have been raised by the young church, and it's also his prayer over the church in Thessalonia. And the book is full of his love, his affirmation for the young Thessalonians, and then particularly later on, sort of towards chapter 5, it contains lots of succinct little tips for living a good Christian life. So today I've been asked to share a few thoughts about the passage, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. And this says, "How we thank our God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow as our love for you overflows." So you can see what I mean about it being a very positive book. So in verse 9, we read, "How we thank our God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence." And so often, as we should, we implore God on behalf of those who don't know him, for them to come to know him, to build a relationship with him. But here, through Paul's example, we see and we realize that it's also good and it's the right thing that we should do to thank God for friends and families and those we know who already have a close relationship with him. And I just wonder how often we actually do that. We also realize from Paul's words that if we invest our time, our love, our encouragement into other people, that we actually will benefit by being joyful. So surely knowing this, it gives us great encouragement to invest ourselves into others and to help them on their journey with God. We move on into verse 10 and 11, and we read, "Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon." So here Paul tells us how he, who was very far away, could still be investing in these people, in their walk with God. How? By praying with them. Earnestly praying for them. And when? Night and day, which as a church we've becoming quite good at doing. I know it's a small contingent that do the nasty hours in the night. Good on you. Of course, it's nearly 2,000 years since Paul wrote this. But to be honest, praying is never gone out of fashion. Just like Paul, right now, we're not able to spend time with lots of people from our church family. But that doesn't change anything in our ability to be praying for them. It's really clear from these verses 10 and 11 that Paul wanted, he really wanted to be with the Thessalonian church. And it's clearly natural for God's family to want to be together. But at the moment, We can't be. Thankfully, now we can see small numbers of other people. But I was thinking, isn't it reassuring to know that when God made us, he made us with a desire to spend time together? So to be honest, rather than beating ourselves up about our inability, be it real or imagined, to cope with the isolation that we're having to deal with, that we're enduring, that we should just use this time to draw closer to God and just to simply know that what's been happening in the recent few months aren't really natural, and inevitably is going to be challenging for us. So what did Paul do when he couldn't meet up with his brothers and sisters from the Thessalonian church? Well, he did what was available to him in about AD 50. He did the next best thing. He sent somebody else. So he sent Timothy. And this got me thinking, if we can't meet up as a family with our brothers and sisters, what's the next best thing in AD 2020? What are we doing? Are we doing it? So we live obviously in a very, very different world to Paul. And really, we have no excuse not to be hooking up with our church family. So I think probably being here right now on a Sunday morning must be very, very high on our list. But there are other things we can do to be hooking up with each other. Obviously, calling, phoning, having a chat, emailing one another. Thank you, Barney, for your emails this week. Joining in with the prayer groups, and some chat groups. And now, of course, meeting in very small numbers. And through all of these ways, we can provide that support and encouragement for other people. There simply is no need for us to feel that sort of far away feeling from our church family that Paul felt back when he wrote this all those years ago. Another observation in verse 10 is that the reason Paul really wanted to see them is because he wanted to fill the gaps in their faith. And I thought, isn't it great that we as a church family have so many people in our church who help us all fill the gaps? But then I was questioning, how strong is my own desire to fill the gaps? How proactive am I in looking for the gaps in my faith, in my knowledge? How proactive are you in looking for those gaps? And then in questioning and actively seeking out answers, trying to increase our faith and our knowledge. Lastly, we read verse 12, and we read, "And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows." So we all know that Christ's message is one of love. Love is absolutely pivotal to the New Testament. That's what it's all about. It's the whole message. God's love for us was demonstrated through Christ, who, dying on our behalf, enabled us to be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven, warts and all. And what Christ does ask in return is that we love the Lord our God entirely, and that we also love others as we do ourselves. So loving people that we like, that's pretty easy, isn't it? But Jesus asks for more than that. And as Paul says here in verse 12, when he prays for the Thessalonians, that they will love all people. We're asked to love all people. Paul goes on to ask that their hearts would be strong, blameless, holy. And I'm sure there are occasions when all of us have come across people that aren't perhaps what we would deem very lovable. And this is where we probably need to be asking God for his help, asking for his grace to help us have those hearts that Paul described, hearts that are blameless and holy, hearts that in essence reflect the love that our Father has for us. So in summary, from this little passage and my sort of ponderings of the day, firstly, 1 Thessalonians is a great book, and if you haven't read it, I really encourage you to. Wouldn't take you very long. Secondly, we need to be generous in investing in others. And if we are, we will be rewarded. We need to think about the gaps in our faith and knowledge and have a desire to actively be filling those gaps. And clearly, as is stated throughout the whole of the New Testament, we need to practice and continually improve on loving everyone. Thank you very much, and I'll pass back to Matt. Bye for now.